Oh Lord, these boys are handsome.
This is the Dynasty Football Life Podcast.
Everyone's recording?
Yes. Indeed.
Okay. And 5, 4, 3, 2.
Jay,
well, that'll be pretty easy to figure out because you guys both said two at pretty much the exact same time.
Jay wants a clean one here, Ty. You've never been two.
He assigned me two this week.
Did you? Well,
in all fairness, I did assign him two.
Wow, so. I just assumed I was still two.
I guess that was my bad.
You missed last week. He gave you number one as a welcome back present, and you fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
cool. All right, Dave.
Lucky I'm back. It's sweeps week.
Yeah. How are the raccoons? How's the raccoon? It probably
no issues lately. So things all things calm in the backyard front.
Did you finally get some petroleum products to put the garbage cans in?
No, not yet. No. Threw a couple bags out there Sunday night, and no harm done. They made it through. So I just need a bigger garage so I can put more garbage
in it. Dave, I think what you need is called a dumpster.
This is a trash can, maybe. A couple trash cans.
And I've seen your butt, Dave. That is definitely not a dumpster. that's at best. If it was like in the term of garbage related things to describe your ass, it's more of a kitchen waste bin or maybe something you put beside your bed for your used Kleenexes.
Okay. I can take that. Yep. Could be a lot worse.
Could be.
It's coming from a guy with no ass talking to two other men with no asses.
Yeah.
Hank, he'll ass here, yep.
Yeah, diminished glutes.
Diminished gluteal syndrome. It's serious. It's a real thing.
I used to have a nice booty when I played hockey, but those muscles get exercised well when you skate.
Yes. Yeah. They're hard to get back at this age. Tell you.
So nowadays, no one's going to cast me in a hip hop video.
for a multitude
of reasons.
That much is
can't
for
dance,
certain.
Can't sing, no butt.
No. Got nothing going for you, buddy.
Nothing.
Nothing. Well, all right. Well, on that note, let's get into it. I'll try not to have any cough attacks. I ate a whole box, two boxes of Kraft dinner. It's easy to upchuck that.
Isn't one box of Kraft dinner four servings?
If you've noticed, they've gotten smaller.
Have they?
The box is the same size, but if you read the milligrams or milliliters or whatever they choose to measure it in, pounds or.
Shrinkflation.
Yeah, just like the
gills,
pizzas.
I think. Yeah, gills.
Just like the pizzas. So yeah, now I'm up to two box of Annie's. I use Annie's.
That's actually a good macaroni and cheese, actually, for a box cheese product.
Yeah, Annie's.
I prefer Annie's.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
Annie's is good. You ever tried the Chester Cheeto stuff?
I didn't like it. It was too cheesy.
It was like it was an overload on your senses.
Obnoxiously cheesy. But it was too much.
But I always want more of it because it just does something to me.
You need like 6 gallons of water beside you, or else you're gonna like desiccate yourself. If that shit's so salty.
I know.
I do like the white cheddar mac and cheese. Actually, that's quite tasty.
I really got to cut back on the sodium because I do not drink enough water. I go like 4 days without water.
That's like you're not a camel, Dave. You're not a turtle.
You gotta hydrate, Dave.
You gotta hydrate. Yeah, gotta.
Oh, sorry, guys. We're recording the wrong podcast here. This isn't Sodium Hour. this is the Dynasty Football Life Podcast.
It's the Hydration Hour. Time to hydrate. Okay. Welcome to Dynasty Football Life, a podcast program brought to you by three underprivileged, overqualified men. Or it might be the other way around. Either way, it's brought to you by us, three men and a lady. I think if you combine all our female attributes, we make one woman between the three of us. If you combine all our feminine sides, you know?
I think it's more than that, Dave. I think you're giving yourself way too much credit for how manly we are.
Oh, yeah. Build a house.
Although I did change my own oil this year, so
good for you. I almost did.
I know.
My dad did it, but I watched.
I bought one of those pneumatic pumps where you just pump the oil out of the dipstick.
Yeah,
sounds sexual, but I mean, I made it sexual.
Most people do.
The neighbors were horrified.
Before we get into this week's show, guys, I would like to have a brief moment of silence for Frances Hussey Sternhagen. She left this earth yesterday, November 27th. She was born in 1930. So she died at the age of 93, and you all should know her as Cliff Clavin's mom. She has passed.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't know if I could jump in there. I was like, is this serious? Like, this is strange for you, but for.
It's like, is Dave's grandma's not named Sternhagen, is she? Because you shouldn't be recording right now. You should be grieving.
Yeah, I was starting to wonder. Actually, like, that's dedication. And thank you for showing up.
My grandma made it to 90. My mom made it to 94, so she outlived this one. But yeah, but some may know her from, you know, Paul Simon show, The Good Doctor. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but she. She was big on Broadway, but I know her as Cliff Clavin's mom. Okay. She was great.
That's all I would probably know her as well. I've seen previews for The Good Doctor, and I thought it was an SNL skit.
Oh. And it's that new show called The Good Doctor with that guy with, what's up with him?
Like the autistic doctor, yeah.
I
haven't had the pleasure of watching that, but nor do I remember Cliff Clavin's mother. I remember Cliff Clavin as a character on Cheers, but
yeah,
I digress.
I like Doogie Howser. You guys ever used to watch that back in the day?
Absolutely.
What was his buddy's name?
Doogie.
No, do you remember his best buddy's name, though? Little.
No.
Vinny.
No.
It was Vinny.
Vinny and Doogie.
Vinny and Doogie. Mm. All right. Excuse me.
It's a treasure trove of information.
Absolutely.
No wonder why he's not single.
I'm sorry I missed last week, guys. Judging by the ratings, it's good I'm back this week. I think lots of information to share this week after a busy week in the football league. Just to remind people what we do here is the Dynasty Football Life. We cover information brought to you by the good old NFL in the form of fantasy football, primarily Dynasty, but not limited to. Sometimes we dabble in the world of redraft and keeper, I guess, is sort of a variation of Dynasty. Jay, would you say it's a little bit different, eh?
Well, it's definitely different. Keepers, we're in a lot of keeper leagues, actually.
We really are, yeah.
X amount of players, your benches are kind of smaller, so. Mm-hmm. I actually do like keeper. I feel like keeper leagues are kind of going a bit of the way of the dinosaur, where Dynasty and Redraft and DFS are kind of the what a lot of people are doing right now. But keepers are fun because the waiver wire is a little more active.
Yeah, I find a lot of people are going for the week-by-week ones. I know you guys do some of those.
Yeah, weekly pools.
Yeah, I like the weekly stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody does. I think it's our attention span. Everything's just, it's got to be like then and now. You know,
it's all the gambling culture and stuff, too.
It's
good for betting, and it's kind of shoved down your throat everywhere now, so.
Yeah, I got a buddy.
You know what? The NFL should really start promoting that on their broadcasts.
Yeah.
What a novel idea.
Calvin Ridley could be a spokesperson.
Got lots of options. I know there's something called suicide pools. And I thought if you lost, then you'd have to go kill yourself in a pool, but you got to pick the pool.
That's dark, dude.
I picked the Olympic size one, you know, right in the middle.
Yeah, right in the middle. Just inconvenience a lot of really talented swimmers.
Better than one of those like kiddie pools, like those wading pools. That'd just be gruesome. Like nobody needs that.
Filled up with blood pretty quick. Okay. Yeah. Panthers, speaking of blood in the water, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, just go for it. You nailed it.
Have fired head coach and former Buffalo Bill quarterback Frank Reich. It was the fourth shortest head coaching tenure in NFL history, and I know you guys are very curious about the other three, and I'm really surprised about the one, and it's the shortest one, which just goes to show you just never know. Bill Belichick lasted 0 games, 1 day as the New York Jets coach, head coach in 2000. He took that as a learning lesson, a stepping stone into his future career.
I mean, he did resign. It was a weird situation. I tried to figure out, like, I tried to read more about, like, why did this only last 1 day? And it's like, it seems like no one's 100% ever really kind of figured it out. It's like he had a contract to take over for Parcells, and then he kind of went to his introductory press conference, and instead he just resigned.
Oh, well,
it's
you know,
pretty weird situation, yeah.
Any press conference with Bill Belichick is usually not very painful. Entertaining and painful.
Very painful.
You watch him; he just doesn't give you anything to work with whatsoever. It's it's very painful to watch. So I guess that's
which I've heard is actually there. The same as sex with Bill Belichick.
I can see that. I can see that.
But now, Bill Belichick either lasts not long enough or way too long, as in his current stint.
I bet he's a great lover, actually. Very tender.
I
imagine he's quite selfish.
I think he'd be the surprising type. Yeah.
I mean, he would definitely have the playbook and really know how to. I think I've gone too far with this at this point.
Yeah, moving on. The next guy, George Allen, 1978, L.A. Rams, lasted 2 preseason games.
Now, he was a selfish lover.
Yeah, he couldn't even get into the regular season. He couldn't last the preseason. Never heard of him. Pete McCulley, same year, 1978, San Francisco 49ers, made it 9 games. So there you go, over half a season. What happened to old Pete McCulley, Ty? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Okay, all right.
Wasn't born yet. Not too sure.
And then, of course, we have Frank Reich, the aforementioned. 11 games this year. Panthers are having a bit of a tough go. Looks like they might get Bill Belichick's first-round draft pick, because he's clearly going for the first-round draft pick. He's throwing games at this point. I'm just waiting for the scandal to break out that he gets caught throwing
games. He ain't catching the Panthers. He's going for that second.
Yeah, he's going for number 2, because, that Giants game was...
Chicago's going to have that first overall pick wrapped up real quick with the Panthers. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm really glad that Frank Reich isn't named after his father, who wasn't named after his grandfather. Because then he would be Frank Reich III.
The Third Reich.
And that would be hard to explain to people.
Yeah, and Frank is a German name, I believe.
I think Reich is too, Dave.
Yeah, Frankfurter.
Just think that's the money, the German Franks.
Yeah. Frankfurter Reich. Frankfurter Reich III.
All right, there are not too many.
He's not a Nazi, though. It's okay.
He's not. Well, not
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. He could be.
That, but I hope not. Yeah, still some around there, unfortunately.
Seemed like a nice guy. The players seem to like him.
Well, I think they're better off.
I don't know if they are.
I don't know either. That's what we're
I really don't. Because you know what I heard through the rumor mill was that Frank Reich actually really wanted C.J. Stroud. The ownership was the ones that really wanted Bryce Young.
Oh,
I don't know how much truth there is to that, but I think it's probably correct. But that would seem to be like maybe they should have let the guy with all the years of experience kind of decide who they want the quarterback to be. But
that
I get
stand a reason.
I gotta kind of wonder what who the next coach of this team will be, because obviously there's only so many coaching jobs, approximately 32, I suppose, in the NFL. So obviously you want the opportunity when you get it. But I don't know if you really want to come into this situation. There's a lot. There's definitely a lack of talent on the team. They don't have their first round pick this year. Uh-huh. Kind of signed into a quarterback. Then I don't know. We'll see about Bryce Young. Ownership is showing they're willing to fire and move on from people pretty quickly. I think if I'm one of the kind of the more sought after coordinators in the NFL, and that I'd probably take this interview, but I think twice about taking this job. I think I'd wait it out.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
There's not a lot to build on around Bryce Young, if you think you can build around Bryce Young, really. They don't have a good running back. The defense is what would you say the defense is? Below average at best?
At best.
And they don't really have any stars in the wide receiver room. Adam Thielen is his fault.
Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen.
That's his name now, according to the document
that's
here.
That's how it's spelled, yeah.
Adam Thielen.
Yeah, I did this on my phone. Lay off.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen, he's struggling a bit these days. He's
good.
Not looking so good.
Yeah. There's not much there, though, outside of hopefully is who turns out to be a generational quarterback, but so far he's not even a league average quarterback, so... Problem is, they gave up a shit ton to get him.
Yeah, you want
DJ Moore?
Yeah, take us through the list here, Jay.
DJ Moore, first round pick, who turned out to be offensive tackle, Darnell Wright.
Great guy.
A second round pick, cornerback Tyreek Stevenson. Amazing. A 2024 first.
That's this year.
Which is currently the number one pick overall, and a 2025 second.
That's horrendous.
That's a lot.
That's horrendous.
That's a lot.
I wouldn't give up any one of those pieces for Bryce Young at this time, so that's tough.
That second round pick, the 2025 one, we'll see.
Yeah, and Bryce Young could still end up being decent, I know, but he's been pretty brutal this year. Mm-hmm. He has the top 200 yards in 4 consecutive games now. 2 touchdowns, 4 INTs, and 2 fumbles in that span. I mean, 8 touchdowns, 9 INTs on the season. He doesn't really seem to make anything happen. He doesn't seem to make plays. He doesn't even really take what's being given to him at this time, but still a rookie, I guess.
I think the I haven't really talked much about Bryce Young this year because I just kind of feel like you're just piling on at this point. Like everyone's talking about how bad he is. I just haven't seen much good. So I like to, you know, with these guys, like with Justin Fields, you saw the great. So it feels better piling on all the bad because you're like, well, they're still the great. This guy kind of feels like you're just piling on somebody that's already down. And I don't know.
Don't like it. I can't. No,
don't like it at all.
I can't get over the fact that this is what the Bears, what they gave up for Bryce Young. I don't think any player in the league is worthless. Just looking at this first round, second round, DJ Moore, like
Pat Mahomes.
I wouldn't even.
Josh Allen.
I disagree. I think they put too much stock in a quarterback. I think the O-line is the most
important.
You can't
win without a quarterback, though, Dave.
O-line really is damn important. But, that franchise quarterback.
San Fran.
Yeah, but San Fran has an elite team everywhere outside of the quarterback. So yeah, you don't need a. I still don't know what Brock Purdy is, though. As much as I went to go say you don't need elite quarterback, like, could Brock Purdy technically be is he above league average? Probably is at this point.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty good.
But no, he might actually be. He might be better than we thought he was for sure. Well, he's obviously better than people thought he was when he was Mr. Irrelevant.
I said that a couple times though, Ty. We talked about this, and I said, "Oh, I think he's better than what we thought he was. He's definitely better than Mr. Irrelevant. He's probably better." And then all of a sudden, he went on a bit of a shit and wasn't playing very well. And then I started to dislike him again. But at some point, you got to say, "This guy's probably at least league average at this point."
Yeah, sometimes you get you think is a mediocre talent, and then they just keep exceeding expectations, playing well, and at a certain point you have to wonder, like, is this player actually special? You know, like maybe like a Kyren Williams type.
Like that's. Speaking of Kyren Williams,
our host is sick. He's struggling a bit right now, so I'm gonna give him a breather here. I'll take over at that. We'll go into Kyren Williams.
Since
I had such a brilliant.
Or as Dave
what's
called
him,
Kylo Ren Williams.
Kylo Ren, yeah.
God bless him.
Kylo Ren Williams. So Kyren Williams, he returned last week. It was a really good week. It was against Arizona, though, who's, you know, they're pretty shit against the run. I think the third most fantasy points that allowed this year. But still another huge week for Kyren Williams. We're seeing a lot of talk all over Twitter this week. It seems to be, you know, where do you actually rank this guy in Dynasty now? Where is he amongst Dynasty running backs? I think that's an interesting thing to discuss. So
let's not discuss it, Ty. Let's just pull up. I'm going to pull up right now. I have Fantasy Pros open. Let's look at running backs right now. Let's talk tier. What tier do you put him in? First tier has your Bijan through Gibbs. Second tier has Jonathan Taylor through Barkley. Third has Jacobs through White at the bottom. And then fourth, you have Kyren Williams is ranked in tier 4 at 16th overall Dynasty running back.
Okay, that's an interesting question. So going off the Fantasy Pros consensus rankings now.
Mm-hmm. And he's gone up 76, by the way. Like, he's not...
he's gone up, yeah.
Like, he's gone up 76 slots.
He was an afterthought at the start of the year. He wasn't even rostered in some Dynasty leagues. Like, it just seemed there was just no point in having this guy because, you know, didn't have the size at a 4'6", 40. There was all this, like... But I think we've seen...
Rumor has it, Ty, his mother didn't even know he was pregnant with him. She just, one day, just a baby came out. And that was Kyren Williams. And he came out walking, talking. He fed himself. I mean, this all started day one.
Walking, talking, fed himself, running. Not too fast, though.
You don't need to be that fast
to be a running back in the NFL.
No.
It's fine.
No.
But Ty, didn't you compare this to Jacksonville's Robinson, this guy? Didn't you mention that?
Oh, that sounds like me, but now I kind of wish I hadn't. Yeah. But,
what's he doing now?
I think it might have been me.
Oh, it might have been. Okay, well, I get you two.
No, you know what? No, I didn't. It was Damian Pierce we were talking about.
I think I did make the comparison
of the Robinson having the year. I think it was, but that's okay.
That's okay. Hey, no, it's fine.
Well, you're wrong. I'm wrong often.
Yeah, but Robinson, at the same time, you could still be right.
That's my point. You could be right still because Robinson was good all year round, the whole year.
Robinson was good for 1 year, and then they drafted a running back.
Yeah.
Now, we've seen the Rams. Dave, you should know this as a Rams fan yourself.
I am. Yeah.
We've seen the Rams spend, second or third round picks on Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson. How did that work out? Do you think Sean McVay is going to go, you know what, let's spend another second or third round pick on another running back when we have Kyren Williams, who's been just our best player, our second best offensive player this year, Damon Pukenikua.
I mean, Rams don't make terrible decisions like some teams, like Carolina. They did give away a lot of picks, but they won the Super Bowl. So
I'm all for giving away picks. You want to see? That checks out.
100%. You want
to
take risks?
Like my Toronto Raptors. You know, they sold the future to acquire a game breaking player and won a championship.
Absolutely. Like, so there's all about risks, but then there's just stupidity, which is what the Panthers did. But I think he's probably more likely to stay and be the number one back next year. He's how old is he? I think he's just 23.
He's young. Yeah, he's young.
Just a young ram. He's not even a buck. He's not a young buck. He's a young ram.
I'll go back to the tiers here that Jay was talking about earlier for running back tiers.
You mentioned Jacobs, and I'm thinking he's better than him, but go ahead, Ty. What do you got?
So I think he's actually in the same tier as those players like Josh Jacobs. So Fantasy Pros did their tier three. I don't agree with this tier entirely, but Jacobs, Swift, Javonte Williams, Austin Eckler, Tony Pollard, Rashad White, Kyren Williams. If I was doing a startup draft right now, doing a startup draft tonight, I'm taking Kyren Williams ahead of Rashad White, Tony Pollard, Austin Eckler.
Yes.
Javonte Williams for me, but that's pretty close.
Mm.
Josh Jacobs also close. DeAndre Swift I'd have ahead of him. Swift is up in tier two for me. But so, yeah, I'd move Kyren Williams up to probably around, like, if I was just to do the rankings today, probably like 12.
Even that, I think I'd
feel okay with that.
Even then, I think you're selling a little bit short. Mm-hmm. Maybe I think that's a little reserved, child, and I respect it. We don't do anything too hasty here, but I think 12 is a safe number. So
I think a lot of people are comfortable having Achan up at like number 8. The guy's two awesome games, and yes, they were incredible, and he could come back and do that again. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the 7 awesome games we've seen from Kyren Williams, is that so much less safe?
Yeah, like Tavon Austin had 2 really good games, and look what happened to Tavon.
We've had super elite players in the NFL year over year over year. They're just super elite athletes that, every now and then they break out, and we've seen quite a few of them go on to have decent careers, and we've seen much more of them just kind of be a flash in the pan. Is Achan a flash in the pan? I don't think so, but everything he's done I don't think is completely repeatable. 80% of what Kyren Williams has done is pretty repeatable. So I think I'm not trading. If I have Achan, I'm not trading him for Kyren Williams, because I think Achan is a lot more value regardless of what I believe.
True.
Even if I believed I liked Kyren Williams, say I decided, I'm a Kyren Williams truther, I like him more, I wouldn't trade him for Achan, because I think for Achan I can get a lot more for him. But what he's going to do, I think you can probably running backs, 3 years, 4 years tops. Kyren Williams, you're probably going to get 3 years of good production out of him, 4 years of good production out of him, and then you're going to move on. I'm perfectly fine with that. I think I would take Kyren over Tony Pollard for sure. I don't think I really don't see much from him in the future. DeAndre Swift, I would take him over him. I'd take him over Javonte Williams, no problem. Josh Jacobs is where I think I start to draw the line. Josh Jacobs, it's hard with his contract next year, right? So.
I think we're reminded, as we'll talk about, I think a little bit later, how much coaching affects fantasy value. But we'll really dive into that once we get into the Steelers a little bit later. But
absolutely.
I still think Williams. I would take Williams over Achan personally. I think Williams.
He is the he's second in fantasy points per game behind C-Mac. So.
Yeah.
It's not like and that's 7 games too. That's not, second in fantasy points per game behind C-Mac with 3 games, That's half a season's almost worth of work in there. And he was the RB9 or better in 71% of games, RB4 or better in 57% of the games.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty impressive.
It's really that comment Ty made about Robinson a few weeks ago. It just got me worried. He just incepted that idea into my mind, and now I'm just all worried about Williams.
Well, this happens with running backs almost every year, unfortunately. But like Damian Pierce, who we're going to talk about later, like he kind of had that year last year, and now this year is kind of like, who gives a fuck,
And then in the preseason, they're saying, he's going to catch balls this year. He's going to be a 3-down back. And then Devin Singletary comes in and becomes the clearly the better player.
Yeah. Speaking about catching balls and big surprises.
Are you inviting us to your birthday party?
That, and I want to talk about Tank Dell. WR10 in fantasy points, which is pretty impressive. Just behind a guy like Jamar Chase and ahead of guys like DJ Moore, Brendan Ayuk, and Devontae Williams. Adams.
Yeah, fantasy points per game. I was actually surprised by that. He's sitting just behind Jamar Chase and ahead of, you know, Brandon Ayuk, who's had a fantastic year. Davante Adams, like, I don't know. Tank, he's the real deal. I put him in here almost every week for a reason.
Yeah, yep. You love him. Now, if you were, again, you're doing a startup draft today, guys, is this guy in your top 20 or even higher?
As a wide receiver. Right?
As a wide receiver, yes. Sorry. Yeah, I think that was obvious.
I mean, I can jump in first.
Get in there.
I'm struggling, Ty.
Get in the suicide pool. Jump in.
This one's easy for me. Absolutely for me, he is. Unquestionably, he's probably top 15 for me.
Okay.
At this point, you know, I think when I see like around guys like, you know, JSN, you know, Zay Flowers, other great rookies. Zay Flowers has had a pretty good year. JSN's a bit disappointing, but I think he'll finish strong. I think Tank Dell's written that same range as those guys. I'd probably take him over both of them in a startup now. I wouldn't necessarily trade my Tank Dell for, or trade my trade my Zay Flowers share for Tank Dell. There's a bit more risk in Dell still, but you know, they're definitely in that same range. He's been that, you know, that good. He's on par with the top rookies of this class.
Yeah, if you look at his tape coming out of college, he looked excellent. The big thing about him was he was too small and too light was the key. He was too light.
And a year or two older.
And he was 24. Like that's, I think that was the, or 23 at the time maybe. I think that was the reason why he went as low as he probably did. Way off. Him and Puka Nacua, when you look at like tier four, like Fantasy Pros has him in tier four, 16 and 17, Puka Nacua, 17 Tank Dell, 18 Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison's another guy who was a little lighter, you know, a little thinner frame, but the NFL seems to work for these guys now. Zay Flowers is kind of in the similar mold. So yeah, I think Tank Dell, I think I'd agree with Ty, probably in my top 15, because you got guys in there right now that I'm not, you know, Steph Diggs, as much as I love Steph Diggs and I'm a Bills fan, he's 30. He's going to start dropping out soon. You know, there's guys in here that, you know, are very, there's quite a few up there that are very hard to move. Like, but if you had a guy that's going to outperform Jamar Chase, who's had an issue with quarterback this year and quarterback health, you know, that's, but Jamar Chase was the one in a lot of leagues this year. Like the first player drafted off of a lot of boards. That's disappointing. But if you drafted Jamar Chase and then maybe with your second or your last pick, second last or last pick, you picked up Tank Dell, who cares? Yeah. You're laughing.
He's picking up the slack.
Guys that win you leagues, man. Absolutely, yeah. Win you leagues.
I love this choice here of dynasty rank. Dell, these three guys, rank these guys, dynasty. Dell, Pittman, and Higgins. Whew. Lord love
you. I'll go first if you want time, since sure. You did the last time. I'm going Pittman, Dell, Higgins.
Okay.
Dell, Higgins, Pittman.
You're taking Higgins over Pittman?
Yeah.
Higgins is a free agent, huh? Pittman's going to re-sign in Indy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Where he's been successful with five quarterbacks that have all been there.
You know,
I know. They're
I'm trying to. I'm just trying to change. I'm just trying to sell you.
No, they're very close. I think for me, it's more the emphatic. I'll take Dell over both.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Higgins.
He didn't like the other part.
It really depends where he ends up. I still think he's got a ton of potential to end up in a great situation. But I wanted to bring this up on the next player we talk about, but I might as well jump into it now. But I could see someone like T. Higgins actually going to Houston in the offseason as a free agent.
So Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and T. Higgins?
Yes. That's something that I kind of thought of as like, a lot of people are going to say, like, well, no, they've already got enough enough talent at wide receiver. They'll spend the money elsewhere, but they have a lot of money. They have a young quarterback in Stroud that's still on his rookie deal that you want to make sure you surround with a ton of talent. You want to have the best potential passing offense that you could. So if you end up with a Nico Collins, Tank Dell, T. Higgins wide receiver trio,
that's
among the best in the league. So if something like that happens, then obviously I don't like the value as much necessarily for any of them. So it depends, but I don't know. It's just something I've been thinking about. I could potentially see, he could end up in Carolina, and in which case, Pittman over him for days. But
see, I had T. Higgins ahead of Pittman coming into the league. I had T. Higgins ahead of Pittman for a very long time. And a lot of the reason I did was because, I mean, I think they went back-to-back, or they were separated by a couple picks at best in the same year. But Higgins was 24 and Pittman is 26. That was kind of the thing you're looking at in Dynasty. Well, this young, flashy talent versus this guy who, you know, kind of came on a little later in college. But Pittman, I don't know, man. Like, the more research I did, because we talked, me and Ty talked about T. Higgins last week. We were talking about free agents and the upcoming free agents and if it's time to buy, sell, whatever. And I think I've kind of reversed how I feel about T. Higgins. I do like him a lot as a receiver, and I've always really liked him as a receiver.
I know
we
have.
But I don't, I know what I have in Michael Pittman, and I feel like he's always been a guy who's you know, he'd, like in PPR, he had almost 100 receptions 1 year, and it was just an awful season by all stretch of the imagination because there wasn't that many yards to go with it. But the guy's played with like the ghost of Carson Wentz, the ghost of Phillip Rivers, like Minshew. Gardner Minshew, yeah. A rookie quarterback in what's his name? The guy
Anthony
at Tyler.
Richardson for a couple Anthony Richardson. Of days, yeah.
Like he's played with so many different quarterbacks, and he's done well with all of them. T. Higgins has had some injury concerns, and you know. I think Michael Pittman's a guy I'm going to identify in the offseason that I want to sell something for. I want to pick him up. I feel like he's still going to be the guy in Indy for years to come. And Anthony Richardson's going to be the guy throwing the ball. And if you believe in him, you got to believe in Pittman.
Well, you're wrong there. But I'll give you the final thought here because I'm usually right about these things, just like I was right about Warren.
That's okay. Dave, you're also the guy that said, I don't know about Tech Dell. He's tied to CJ Stroud.
All right, here's my three. Mine's Pittman, Dell, Higgins. I got Pittman, and just to name off his weeks, 15.7, 12.4, 10.4, 14, 15, 15. A couple of slower consistent weeks with no touchdowns, 12.2, 9.6, 19.7. He's on my bench. Needless to say, I'm doing really well
now.
Your
team must be really good, Dave.
That's with Tyreek Hill and Olave and a couple other guys. Doing great. But I think when I think about Higgins, and I tend to forget about the whole free agency aspect because I'm not very smart, is I get a sense Checks of out. I think of Davante Adams when I think about Higgins.
Yeah, and he's still good where he went.
Yeah,
but
he's good.
Exactly. He's not. I mean, he was in a better situation in Green Bay than Higgins was as the number two in Cincy, but 100% Dave.
Yeah, so that's my kind of thoughts. And I don't know. And Dell, I mean, I don't know if Pittman's just more of a sure bet. Dell, I'm still concerned with a bit of a, you know, boom bust. But, top 10.
Say, changing teams could be tough, and you're definitely right to be worried for a wide receiver. But, hey, A.J. Brown on Philly, like sometimes you just end up in a better situation, too.
Yeah, he left Tennessee.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, it must be tough going from Ryan Tannehill to Jalen Hurts. Poor guy.
Jalen Hurts, he's won a Super Bowl, and he was not really meant to be that great of a quarterback. He's meant to be pretty good, decent.
Oh,
but...
no. He was always going to be great.
I don't know.
People just got him wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Guy could squat 600 pounds.
He's also surrounded by the right players. And he has the right coaching staff. And everything that needed to happen for him happened.
It happened.
Like, all the question marks we had about Jalen Hurts coming to the draft, all of them were answered because everything was, like, every issue you were worried about, that was all fixed. That was all good to go.
Boom. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about in regards to Houston, like Nico Collins? He's WR17 right now. So would you have him up there? And you're, like, top 20, top 25 for wide receiver?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd have to. Ty?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, around the... 24, 25, especially PPR. Definitely up there in a full PPR. I think he's a back-end wide receiver too now. Until something changes in Houston.
You know, I liked him way more than Tank Dell coming into the season, though. And I liked him more than Tank Dell up until, I think, probably about maybe 8 games in, I was finally convinced.
Yep. Sounds like in Houston, when it comes to receiving core, Houston does not have a problem.
Well, they have a quarterback. That helps.
I did there?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, Dave, you made a space joke.
I made a space joke.
You did
the
Tom
opposite
Hanks
of what they usually do.
I've been watching a space show recently.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For All Mankind.
Yeah, I'm jealous of that.
It takes place in Houston.
Apple TV. We want to plug the Apple TV? Give a little.
Oh, they are a sponsor. They're paying us, so we might as well. Yeah.
All right, moving on. Steelers offense. Oh my God, what a change can happen when you fire somebody. In this case, OC Matt Canada has ended his reign with the Steelers, and they had over 400 yards of offense, and that's the most they've had since 2018. Probably not a coincidence. So, And that changes some things, doesn't it? Now, I keep bragging to Jay how smart I was starting Warren. in my redraft league in a flex spot thinking I'm fucked, and he kept putting up 10 points. And I'm reminded that you had brought that up earlier in our season.
I think like week one or two time week, we're talking about Jalen Warren season.
Yeah. So it just goes to show that you guys sometimes have some good advice, and I take it to heart. And it worked out pretty well. He didn't have a great week this week because maybe of the change. So what do you guys think? Like we kind of mentioned earlier, coaching can have a significant impact on fantasy value for players. Could this be that case with Harris seemingly getting a bigger part of the offense last week?
No, I don't think so. I think I don't think we have to worry too much about that. Warren's shown that he's the more elusive, more effective back, better pass catcher, I think.
Better looking, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. Although, I mean, Najee Harris seems like a good dude. Pretty funny guy. Watched a really funny interview with him recently. I don't remember what happened, but.
I like him now.
Yeah. But I like him.
You sold
like
me, Ty.
Him. I like him. He's fine. But no, I think with the coaching change, obviously, that's a good thing. Matt Canada had to go. Just one of the most absolute obvious, just get him out of there, anything else would be better type situations. And one weekend, it seems like it is. But if you look at the Steelers' schedule for the rest of the year, I think there's a good chance that you see both Jalen and Najee having, you know, some fantasy value. So you'll probably see more kind of split games like you did here with 15 touches for Harris, 13 for Jalen Warren. But Warren's a more effective back. He's the pass catcher. He's more explosive. He'll be the better fantasy option still.
I disagree with that. I think Najee Harris was being held back by the offensive coordinator, and he's now going to be the best running back in the NFL.
You heard it here.
Serious?
Okay, cut it there. Let's go to the next segment.
Let's go to the next segment. Najee Harris has not been good since he joined the NFL, really. He's not. I mean, he's not been bad, but he's never really been what we kind of hoped he would be. Jalen Warren's exceeded expectations, and I think that... You know, that has something to play with it when it comes to how you view a player. So when you spend very little draft capital on a player and they exceed your expectations, you generally hold them in higher esteem than someone that you spend too much draft capital on and they disappoint.
Checks out.
Could this be more of a Detroit style offense where you have kind of a, you know, what do they say, Ty? A thunder and a lightning?
A little thunder and a lightning, a little hammer and a nail? No, it's not.
Hammer and a nail, a sickle and a dildo. I don't know.
Tom and Jerry.
A Tom and a Jerry. Who's the Tom? Who's the Jerry? I don't know. Let's find out. So you could have Najee Harris for more of the short yardage work, and then have Warren lining up more for some sweet passes.
Maybe.
But my question is Kenny Pickett going to be better now?
No.
Like we saw how bad Josh Allen looked with I don't even want to say his name, Ty. It's so beyond me. But since we changed OCs in Buffalo, the offenses looked a lot better. The defense, on the other hand, that's another story. Our press coverage is not good in the final moments of the game. But a quarterback as good as Allen looked at times bad under a bad OC. What about a quarterback as dog shit as Pickett? Can he look slightly better under an adequate offensive coordinator?
Well, I guess you can shine a turd. So, like, if that's the type of thing, like, you know, you spit on a
turd. My turds come out shiny, Ty.
Give it a little shine, then, yeah.
I had a lot of fat.
We'll get that checked out.
No, I don't really have any faith in Kenny Pickett whatsoever. But could he be better with Matt Canada gone? Yeah, I think everybody on that team could be. Everybody in that offense can be. So maybe if you're unfortunate enough to have Kenny Pickett as one of your quarterbacks in like a super flex league or a 2QB league or something, then maybe you get a couple of reasonable weeks out of him. But I hope you don't have to play him in any of those leagues still.
First of all,
not happy about one league.
I do want to go on record as saying Josh Allen is overrated.
No, he's not.
I said it. No, I've been wanting to say it for a while. Also, Pollard is incredibly overrated too. I've been wanting to say that for weeks.
Josh Allen, the number one fantasy point scorer this year, is overrated.
I did not say fantasy.
What's your rating system, bud?
I didn't mean fantasy. I meant as a real player.
I don't know.
I think he's overrated.
I don't think he is. I think a lot of people are shitting on him right now. It's easy to pile on Josh right now.
Tough to say because it depends on the kind of the coverage you see on him, because a lot of people are pretty tough on him. And some people say he's up there with Mahomes, which he's not. Really.
He was. He was at one point.
But he's, I don't know, in that second tier.
He's down there with Pickett and Mac Jones.
Oh, you shut your whore
mouth. I saw this funny thing. Let me explain the joke. It'll be funnier that way. But the people on the sideline.
Jokes are always funny when you explain them, Dave. But go on.
They use the Windows Surface. That's the name of the of a laptop, little it's a tablet. It's called the Surface. So there's a picture of two working Surfaces and a broken Mac. It's like Mac Jones on the sideline with two coaches with their Surfaces.
So, this is the one time a joke wasn't funnier when you explained it.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah. Poor Mac. He needs to get the fuck out of New England.
Yeah, him and everybody else.
That ball, that ball punching bastard.
Pat Freiermuth sounds like a tight end, but he's a wide receiver, right? Am I wrong?
No, he's a tight end.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense because he sounds like one.
Played like a wide receiver this week.
Yeah, we had 9 catches. Career high, 11 targets, 120. Does that, that's interesting. Keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that.
That's a big one because he's actually someone that had a pretty decent amount of talent. A lot of people actually really liked him coming into this year and even, you know, going back the past couple of seasons. But injuries kind of slowed him down this year. Then the Pittsburgh offense got in the way a bit. He came back 2 weeks ago from injury. You know, was just kind of getting acclimated again. Then this week it seemed like he was fully back with the new offense and absolutely fantastic, you know, week. So he's probably on some waiver wires in redraft. At least he was. Yeah, so
he was.
Maybe by the time this comes out, he won't be anymore. But I hope you got him.
Yeah. I liked him a lot coming to college. I like where he's going to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh receivers usually do well under Tomlin,
and tight ends.
But they've never seen a Kenny Pickett before, so we'll find out. At least he blocks on running plays, unlike Deontay Johnson.
Yes, there you have it. Hot take.
Yeah.
All right, this is a segment called Quick Questions. I ask questions, you answer them quickly.
That's possible. I like to talk in long periods of time. Ramble on.
There's an exciting game coming up between Jacksonville and Houston this week. Checking on a dynasty check here. Who are you starting, Lawrence or Stroud?
Stroud.
That was quick.
Stroud.
Look at that. Quick questions.
Again. Stroud just over Lawrence for me in dynasty. Just over, but he's still over.
Just over Lawrence?
Yeah, Lawrence is the next tier below, as he was, like, I think we did this 3-4 weeks ago.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, though, Stroud's starting to separate quite a bit, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I've got him pretty high as I have most of the year, but yeah. Yeah, Lawrence is
You had him higher than I did last week, ranked, so.
Yeah.
Lawrence did okay last week, got some points.
He finally had a good fantasy week against Houston last week, Lawrence, finally.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe 2 in a
row. All right. These quick questions, quick answers. Bijan Robinson potentially breakout game last week. I don't know what the question is, but that happened.
Well, how close are Gibbs and Bijan for you guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I only put green on the wrong spot. Oh, Dave only reads with green in the dark. My apologies.
Let me scroll down where I can find a question mark here. Here it is. You're right, Jay. How close are Gibbs and Bijan to you?
Yeah, this one's interesting, I think. I kind of want to hear what Jay has to say because Gibbs has kind of done exactly what we thought he would this year, where he starts slow and then he finally kind of gets into his role and he's been fantastic. Whereas Bijan started pretty well, but then the Atlanta offense, Arthur Smith, you know, they kind of seemed to get in the way a bit. But last week, Bijan had 30% of the team's targets and he had all 5 of the red zone snaps. Or sorry, 5, and Cordell Patterson had 1. So they're finally using him kind of in the way that they should.
Ty, you want to know what I think about this? I want to know what Arthur Smith thinks about this because it should be a clear separation, I think, originally between Gibbs and Bijan. But I think I feel like my take on Gibbs to start, I was a huge Gibbs fan, don't get me wrong, but I thought they were more separated than they are. And I think Gibbs is more talented and more NFL, like his more NFL ready talent than I thought he did. How close are they? One or two apart at best, I think, at this point. I think I have to have Gibbs. Let me just pop open my running back rankings here.
Yeah.
Or not my running back rankings. So we have on Fantasy Pros, we have Bijan at 1 in tier 1 and then Gibbs at 4. So, yeah, I would probably agree with that. We have Breece Hall and Christian McCaffrey between them. McCaffrey, he's the best running back in the NFL. He's 27. He's going to be 28 next year. How much longer does he have? I don't know.
He puts a lot of miles on, though. Like, a lot of miles.
But he's a weird one, though. He's been healthy this year.
Yeah.
He's looked good. But I think Bijan, Gibbs, Hall, and McCaffrey in tier one, I can't disagree with that. I think that is about as close as I would. I would probably have him ranked the same, actually. I think people forget that Breece Hall is, you know, as talented probably as Bijan Robinson was coming out of college, or if not very close.
Very close.
And I recently traded him to Ty, and that hurt me dearly But I needed quarterbacks in that league, and I needed the draft picks to get the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, so I had to do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And a few sentences you said?
Yeah. Oh, no. This one we're allowed. Oh, no, yeah. Sorry. One word answers.
Ty?
Close.
Yes.
Okay.
For me, Bijan Robinson is my number one dynasty running back, and Jamar Gibbs is my number two. So, close.
Yeah, you have him over Breece, huh?
Yeah, I'd have Breece 3 and the McCaffrey 4. McCaffrey 4 just because of age, but depending on your situation, I'm not necessarily trading one of these guys for McCaffrey. If I'm competing, I want McCaffrey, because if you have McCaffrey, you're pretty much guaranteed to be at least a contender.
Can you imagine Breece Hall, though, if he played with a quarterback that wasn't any of the two quarterbacks he played with this season?
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, all due respect to DeVito, you're funny. I like that you live with your parents.
Well, DeVito plays for the Giants, Ty.
All those sort of things. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's Saquon you're thinking of.
Yeah. Saquon, next year down.
you're thinking of Zach Wilson, who fucks people's parents.
Yeah, but with all due respect to,
Usually just
him and Corey Perry, apparently.
Those fantastic quarterbacks in New York.
Yeah. I saw something about Corey Perry, but Bedard, I didn't understand it because I didn't click on it. That makes...
There's a rumor that Corey Perry banged Bedard's mom, and that's why he's not on the team anymore. But I don't think that doesn't seem to be true.
I doubt it.
Although, I'd fuck Bedard's mom. She's pretty attractive.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Jay's gone on record.
Yeah, she's around my age, too, so that makes sense.
They did bring Corey Perry into me as somewhat of a father role to Bedard, so maybe just took it too seriously.
Yeah.
All right, guys, before we get into our last segment, rebound or down, I kind of got a little excited when you talked about Pat Freiermuth. Freiermuth. It's a tough one to say.
Freiermuth.
Freiermuth?
Yep. Oh, it is a very tough one to say, though. I will agree with you on that one.
You just completely simplified it for Freiermuth. Is that what you said?
Freiermuth.
Well, Freiermuth. Okay. Yeah. And I think we really should touch on some tight end rankings for the tight ends. Because I feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, because again, I'm underqualified for this, with guys like Pitts being sort of talked about being number one in Dynasty as a tight end, and I think things have changed a lot. I think we should discuss a little bit.
They've changed.
Okay, so I'm not crazy. Who's your number one? Just right off the bat. Boom. Who's your number one? Just say it. Fucking say it, Jay. Kincaid. Just say it. I don't even want to say it.
No, it's not Kincaid.
I know.
I think it's Mark Andrews for me probably still.
Yeah. He's getting hurt a lot lately. I don't know. Kittle gets hurt. He gets hurt. Pitt sucks. I'm thinking, I like Hawkinson.
Hawkinson is the consensus number one.
Yeah, that makes sense. Consensus.
I don't believe that because I don't know who his quarterback's going to be next year.
Well, I mean, he still does okay with Dobbs.
How do you do in Detroit? Dobbs was a fucking train wreck last week.
Yeah.
Dobbs was pretty bad, yeah. 4 INTs last week. Hawkinson, I don't know. Hawkinson, he's been very good in Minnesota.
He's not my one.
Yeah.
But he's not, to me, he's just not quite talented enough for me to be like a number one overall. Some of it's situational. I like him a lot. He's in tier one.
Okay.
I would take Mark Andrews over him. I would take Sam Laporta is probably my number one, though.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to go Laporta?
Yeah, probably. I mean,
he's got a younger Hawkinson.
Oh, you know what? If I look at Dynasty, our fantasy pros, Laporta is the consensus one. Hawkinson is 4.
Okay, that makes sense to me. That's probably Laporta, Kincaid, even Trey McBride. I think he should probably be in that conversation.
Yeah, but he only recently came on, though, because of situation.
Obviously, Kelsey. Yeah, but situation was inevitable for him, and he had the talent and the draft stock. Yeah. Like, it was just, if you, like, for tight ends, for me, it's, we've definitely seen quite a bit of change this year in the top of it. But if you want to tell me your tight end one is one of Laporta, Andrews, Kelsey, Hawkinson, Kincaid, McBride. Mm-hmm. Fine. Any of those guys for me.
I'm going to go
Freiermuth.
Freiermuth. He's definitely a tier behind those guys. Maybe two tiers behind them. Yeah. Yeah. Tier two or tier three, probably. Kyle Pitts, I'm still going to put just in the neighborhood, I think, just because Atlanta might end up with a quarterback next year.
They're going to end up with Justin Fields, and then all of a sudden.
That'd be interesting. Justin Fields will be traded, I think. I really feel like...
Oh, he will, yeah.
I don't know. There's something in the ether that's telling me they're going to use that first-round pick to get a, I don't know, maybe a generational fucking talent. But I wouldn't blame you if you had Laporta, Kincaid, and Yeah, I'd say Laporta, Kincaid, and maybe Hawkinson, Andrews. I have no problem with that either.
Quick question for you here, then maybe a little teaser to an episode that'll probably be coming out next week when we talk about the upcoming draft for running backs and tight ends.
There's one in there, Ty. Like
Brock Bowers, where are you putting him?
Yeah.
Right now, where would you put him? For me,
I think I'm putting him tier one.
I'm putting him one overall.
Yeah, I think tier one, probably one overall, yeah. Yeah, Bowers is better than Laporta ever was. He's better than Kincaid ever projected to be.
Whoa.
He really could be the next Kyle Pitts, who was supposed to be the next Travis Kelce.
He could be the next Kyle Pitts, but he could also be the next Kyle Pitts. So you never know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how to take that. next Kyle Pitts.
Okay, so Kyle Pitts, I'm gonna say tier two though, but just at the outside of it. Tier one for me. I think this is interchangeable. Tier one, I'm gonna go Andrews, Laporta. Kincaid, Hawkinson, Kelce.
That's a big tier one.
That's okay. I think five people are very good in this league.
I think it's
Kelce, Laporta, Andrews, and Hawkinson. Let's be honest.
Dave, what if I told you that Dalton Kincaid, for the most part, since we had this conversation, is outscoring Laporta?
I mean, without Knox, and maybe the Bills actually changing their schemes and trying to win games.
I think it has less to do with without Knox and more to do with they can win games if they don't throw the ball to Gabe Davis when he's not open.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, that's cool. And I do want to mention Goddard. I think he's trending down.
He's a bit of a forgotten man in this tight end tight end world.
Well, he's not getting any younger. He's getting hurt. I don't know. I just think his best is behind him, I think. I think you'll see guys like Firemouth, Engram, Kmet, Mayer, Ferguson, those guys, Musgrave, just one by one start moving ahead of him. But that's, just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there.
No, I feel like there's a lot ahead of him in Philly. You know, they don't scheme plays for him necessarily. And I think that's, like when you watch a Detroit game or you watch a Bills game, they are scheming plays for those particular tight ends. Just like Kansas City schemes plays for Kelce, right?
What's my point? So if they don't do it for him, he's not going to get fantasy points unless he moves teams or change their game. Why would the Eagles change?
They got AJ Brown. They have Deshaun.
They wouldn't. There's no room for him.
They can't.
Goddard's just good.
They won't.
They won't. All right, guys. Let's move on to and thank you for indulging me there. Something called Rebound or Down. These are players that will see their fantasy value either rebound to some degree, or at least maybe not to the previous highs. But or should you be looking to move on? Because they're not going to rebound. And this first name on the list hurts because I got very excited when he finally came off of AR. I had him paired with another rookie receiver that was just, I'm not going to mention his name this week. You all know who he is. Cooper Kupp.
Is it Puka Nacua, Dave?
yes, it is. Cooper Kupp has just not really hit it yet at all. Very disappointing, unfortunately, but he's
two good weeks out of the entire season, that he's played.
I guess. But you got some interesting stuff here, I think, Ty, that you put in here, but targets to come on design plays. You want to elaborate on design plays? Because plays don't come from a factory necessarily, but sometimes they are manufactured.
Yeah, I'd love to elaborate on this. I did a lot of research on this, actually. Matt Harmon, you might have heard of him. He kind of ripped me off on this one.
Mark Harmon from...
Matt Harmon, the reception perception.
Oh, not the
this, actor. This is straight out of his work, but factors, a play for statistical slump, percentage of cuffed plays that have come on design plays. In 2021, 12.3, 2022, 23.7, and then 4% this year. So since week five, 19% of Puka Nacua's plays have come on design plays. So, what's that kind of tell you? Just they're kind of scheming a little bit more offense toward Puka so far this year than they are for Cooper Kupp. And there's a lot of factors at play. I think when you think about that, like Kupp's been injured. Even when he's kind of come back, we've had times where Matt Stafford's been injured. The offense hasn't kind of been rolling in the same type of way. So could that change potentially? But I don't know, either way, it's been disappointing for Cooper Kupp. And this is a guy that was one of the best players in the NFL a couple of years ago.
Like, yes.
He was a Super Bowl MVP.
Slot receiver, like the best one in the league by far.
Yeah, someone that was just good for like ridiculous, like 15 targets a game. So will we get back to that? Maybe. Are we just seeing maybe Puka Nacua is kind of, you know, sliding in there as a, you know, when healthy, 1A, 1B, or they're both going to be, you know, guys that they scheme for? I don't know. Maybe.
Jay, do you want to share some thoughts about Cooper Kupp?
Well, all I heard Ty was say was maybe. So, Ty, what is it? Is it A or is it B?
He's on the fence.
Rebound? I wish I knew. You named the segment. Rebound or down, Ty? Rebound or down?
Yeah.
Or eastbound or down? Good show.
Yeah, yep. Great
eastbound
show.
Down.
7.6 on IMBD.
I think I'm sure Cooper Kupp will rebound a little bit. He'll retain some value, but I think in Dynasty, he's definitely someone. If I'm not 100% competing right now, even if I am, maybe I think I'm looking to see what I can get for him. I think I've listened to offers for him. He's aging, 29, I think now.
Well, we're all aging.
Definitely some injury history. So,
well, that's a little bit better than a maybe.
Yeah. I'm gonna go maybe on this, Dave. I'm just gonna go maybe. I'm saying definitely down. And I Cooper Kupp's
an answer.
Cooper Kupp's a great player. Love Cooper Kupp. Like saying his name, Cooper Kupp. It's fun to say. It's a good vocal exercise. Cooper Kupp. But that team's not gonna get any better. Matt Stafford's not gonna become a better quarterback than he was in 2021. He's got competition for targets now. It makes sense. Injuries are catching up. His age is catching up with him. There's nowhere to go for him, I don't think, but down. And it's too bad because he was one of the most fun players in the NFL to watch. And a guy that when he came into the league, I remember picking him up in a couple leagues and drafting him pretty late in some rookie drafts. Mm-hmm. He was expected to be NFL ready, but not supposed to be anything special. And he won people leagues for years.
I was one of them, Jay. I don't want to brag. But.
Remember, he was a bit older as a rookie, right? And he was.
I think he was 24 or something.
And it wasn't like the greatest college program, so there's some questions about. But I mean, I think we've learned with him and like to throw back to Tank Dell. Like, even if they're a bit older, that's fine. If they have certain intangibles or if they dominate in college, that matters. Yeah. It's the players that didn't produce. They're just looking at like one stat, like a, you know, like a John Ross, like, oh, he's just really fast, but he didn't produce, you know, like those are the guys that I think have a bigger bust rate.
Absolutely. It's not like he was Brandon Whedon old. He was just older than the other
like 24 or 23, you know, instead of 29.
He didn't already
like
have a career and retired and came back to college and then joined the NFL. It's not that big a deal.
My concern is I don't care how old you are, but once you start getting hurt every year, those are my concerns. Yeah. He's just.
I care how old you are.
I could be wrong.
But I also care if you're old and hurt.
Yeah.
If you're old and hurt, just like capitalism. If you're old and hurt, I'm sorry, but fuck you.
Yeah. I think about Keenan Allen. I used to think, I'm done with this guy. And I stuck out and stuck with him.
One of the best wide receivers in fantasy this year.
Exactly. And he's been able to stay healthy last couple of seasons for the most part. So I'm not giving up hope. That's definitely a maybe on Cooper Kupp. I'm with Ty on this one.
The injuries for him, for Keenan, were kind of more in his younger era too.
Yeah.
The one guy, though, in Los Angeles, we're going to talk about him, aren't we? Austin Eckler.
Okay. But before
speaking of age catching up to you. Okay.
Well, we can talk about him, or we can talk about
Eckler, do Eckler first and go back to Godwin.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Eckler's. Apparently, you guys spoke about him last week, which was, I don't remember authorizing it, but it's okay.
Wait, Dave, right? You weren't here, but are you telling me you didn't even listen? Come on, buddy.
I haven't, actually, yet. he's playing with a guy named Justin Herbert. That's spelled correctly now. Thank you. A lot of big money contracts in, I want to say San Diego, because that's where I still believe they play, in my heart. They're still in San Diego. They're a 500 team, aren't they? They're like,
they've always been a 500 team, Dave, even with Justin
always
Herbert.
Always have. That's true. Even with
I think
Rivers.
They're exactly 500 in the Herbert area, is like something like, I don't know, 31 or something.
They like sometimes are 9-7 back when it was 16 games, and they sometimes would get a wild card and then exit the first.
They're just consistently one of the more disappointing teams because they always have such like exciting players. Even on like defense, the guys like Bosa and stuff. Like they just have such exciting teams, and they just always seem to let you down. Like they're such a disappointing franchise that I'm surprised they're not my favorite team.
I know, I love disappointing
franchises. They're just one of them, but they're not my favorite. That's shocking to me.
Yeah.
Now, Eckler was on the same team as I had Cooper Kupp that won me a couple years ago, 3 years ago, maybe four. So I have a soft spot for Austin Eckler, but and he came as a surprise when he first came in the league. But I don't know. I actually made a big trade with him and moved on from him, and I don't have any regrets. So I haven't followed his stats as much as I used to. So if you guys can kind of fill in the gaps there. Where's Austin at these days? He's obviously struggling because he's in this segment. The question is he going to rebound or is he down?
Ty, I think both of us said no last week. We were saying to get rid of him.
Yeah, we weren't necessarily saying that he wouldn't rebound. Like, it's a slightly different segment. Like,
it could be better than this year.
He's a dynasty sell. But, I mean, for the rest of the season, could he still end up having some value? Sure. He's actually been, you know, still been okay for fantasy this year. Like, he's averaging, you know, 13.7 fantasy points per game. So that has him actually number 10, RB 10. So, like, he's not killing your team or anything.
No.
He's a starter. When he's healthy, you play him, you start him, he's okay because of his pass catching. But even his pass catching, it's down a little bit. His running numbers are terrible. He's 28th in yards per carry, 30th in success rate, 33rd in explosive rate. And just the eye test, just watching him, Jay and I were joking about it last week. Just watching him run up there is like he looks a bit plodding now.
Looks like Ty chasing his puppy.
Exactly.
Sounds like Melvin Gordon yards per carry numbers out there. That's not good.
He's got so much value on name alone that for me, if I own any shares of him, unless I'm like really going for the championship this year, and he's going to be a starter for me, I'm moving on for sure. And it sucks because like Austin Eckler's been one of the most. One of the best parts of fantasy for it feels like 7 years now.
He was a real surprise. I never even really heard of him.
Just an awesome, like, and he seems like an awesome dude too. He embraces fantasy. He does fantasy commentary.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'll like critique his own fantasy, like performances, and be like, "No, I draft this guy over me." Like, you know, he's just like he's a good guy for the fantasy kind of community. But just in terms of like, could he rebound this year? Like, he's been okay anyway. Not great, but he's been okay. He was injured for quite a while, but. He finishes up this year against New England, Denver, Las Vegas, and then Buffalo and Denver again. Denver allows the most fantasy points to running backs. A lot of that was probably that 70-point game, but still, that's a lot of
outside of that matchups. Game, that defense has been pretty good, though.
Yeah, they have. But to running backs, they've still allowed some points, though.
As much as we made fun of Sean Payton earlier the time, man, he's turned that team around.
100%.
And Russell Wilson does not look broken anymore. He looks like Russell Wilson of old.
He looks okay. Yeah, not quite the same. I think not to get off on too much of a tangent on Denver, but I think Denver's offense is actually kind of primed to finish the year strong.
We'll see if they can get Mims involved too.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
That'd be fun to watch. But yeah, we talked a lot of shit about Denver to start the year and Sean Payton because his stupid douchey fucking whatever those stupid hats
personality.
Are called. Personality, face, making fun of Nathaniel Hackett. Well, yeah, Nathaniel Hackett does suck. He wasn't really wrong. You should have called him out, I guess.
No, Hackett did suck, yeah.
All right, let me get this back on the rails. I don't see anything in here about the Denver Broncos.
Shut up, Dave.
what I do see is a guy that's, and it's in his name, that many of us have forgotten. Chris Godwin. Christian Godwin, maybe. Anyways, incredible, like God, has incredible talent. He seems to be in an offense that doesn't want him to partake in plays. Obviously, Evans is on the opposite side. So there's a lot of talent there. He's really good, but maybe it's the quarterback. Maybe it's the coaching. I tried to went out and get a trade for him. It didn't pan out, and I'm kind of not too upset over it. But I want this guy to be good, but I don't know. Is he going to rebound or is he going down? Chris Godwin, talk to me.
Okay, I feel like all these guys are down, man. I feel like I don't see a lot of rebound potential in Chris Godwin. I think would he have a better year next year than he did this year? Probably. I mean, it doesn't get a lot worse for a very talented wide receiver. I have him on two teams, and I'm not even starting him very often anymore. Like, there's guys like there's times like last week I was between him and Zay Flowers, and you know Zay Flowers. Yeah, he's had a couple off weeks, and they haven't really used him correctly in Baltimore. But last week, that end around really propped up his numbers, and I'm glad I started him because he helped me win a week. But Godwin, I don't know. Tampa, Baker seems to be a decent quarterback. The team is actually playing pretty good football right now. And unless Mike Evans is gone, he's definitely the two there. And he kind of always was. There was times where he outperformed Evans, but Evans is a freak. If you have a quarterback that wants to throw up a jump ball, who are you throwing it to, Chris Godwin or Mike Evans? You're throwing it to Mike Evans every fucking time.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny that it's like Mike Evans is, and I think Chris Godwin's awesome. I think he's a super, super Absolutely. Talented wide receiver, you know, maybe top 15, 20 in the NFL for talent. But it just seems like people are disappointed every single year when Mike Evans outproduces Chris Godwin for fantasy and in real life, too. And it's just like Mike Evans is fucking good. Mike Evans has always been better than Chris Godwin.
Yep.
Godwin's just awesome. He's
projected to be better. Yeah.
Like it's every year it's just kind of like, oh, I thought Godwin was going to end up having this, you know, massive breakout year, and it's just like, well, it's not really there with Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Mike Evans is doing what Mike Evans is doing what he was predicted to do. So why are you like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, if Mike Evans moves on next year, which is possible, I think there's some rumblings that he'll end up coming back to Tampa, which personally that's probably what I see. Mm-hmm. But what the hell do I know?
Yeah, he might end up in Houston. Yeah. Imagine that.
I mean, newly minted Houston Texans fan, I've enjoyed watching their games. I've watched them 4 weeks in a row now, 5 weeks in a row.
Oh, nice.
Love Tank Dell, CJ Stroud. Like, those are two of my early season calls that I just loved as rookies. So fun to watch. Yeah, Mike Evans joins that team. Hell Ty, yeah, I might just have to get myself a jersey.
Ty, there was a time where you, Tanner, and I, my other brother, Tanner, we used to, when we first were living together after university, we were much after university, but we'll get
some of us
we just weren't that successful. But we used to drink a lot and play a lot of Madden, and we'd play on the same team. I'd play quarterback, wide receiver, running back, or whatever else it may be. We always picked Houston to start with because we loved the running back, and we loved having J.J. Watt.
Yeah, J.J. Watt, Aaron Foster, DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean,
those are some of my favorite players in the NFL, yeah.
Yeah, so we've always been closet Houston fans here. But one guy I would like, since we talked about tight ends, he busted out for one big game this year, but if Mike Evans leaves Tampa Bay, Cade Otton should be on your radar.
He should already be on your radar,
but his value still, like, his value jumped in week 9 when he scored 17 points, but he's, he averaged 4.5 points the last 2 weeks, which isn't great, but he's, again, a young tight end, 24 years old, 6'5", 250 pounds. He's a big boy, and if Evans goes, I think Baker's going to look to him a little more, so just something to think about, you know, Cade Otton.
Yeah,
I wouldn't pay a lot for him right now. I think right now he's a good value buy, but yeah, he's on my radar for sure.
All right, next on the list after Chris Godwin is Austin Eckler. So, all right, hold on, we talked about
it's
it.
Damian Pierce now, Dave. Yep.
Done him 2 weeks.
The last man on the list.
Let's talk about Damian Pierce and some other random team that comes up. Now, Pierce played only 19% of offensive snaps on the return from injury this week. I don't know about that. Do you guys see any long-term buy low value for Pierce? Or is Devin Singletary the 1A in the backfield moving forward? These are tough questions. Luckily, you can give me more than one word answers because this is a different segment.
That's right.
Rebounder down. Damian Pierce.
I'll tell you.
Ready to go with that.
Previously, I looked at a Devin Singletary split backfield and thought, if Singletary's better than Zach Moss must be shit. Zach Moss is a pretty good in Indy, and now Jonathan Taylor injured again. He's going to end up being valuable for another 3-4 weeks, so potentially the rest of the fantasy season.
He's got a broken finky. Had some surgery. Yeah,
so Moss has looked pretty good. But now I look at the same situation, and I think Singletary, is like, oh, he can't be that much better than Damian Pierce, but he's been better. I think Singletary's the 1A there. Pierce, is there buy low value? I mean, if somebody's willing to sell him low enough, but do I see a rebound out of him? No, not really. I was never huge on him last year either, though.
No, you weren't.
Felt like I missed the boat on him last year, and then now I feel like I was, maybe okay to miss that boat.
I was more surprised with his production last year than I am with his lack of production this year. Never a Pierce fan. I didn't believe any of the hype in the preseason where they say he's going to catch passes. I think I talked about that 5 times now. But I was like, he's not going to catch passes. And I think it just goes to show, Ty, that Buffalo can't use a fucking running back properly. James Cook's looked good this year, but Buffalo previously has not been able to use a running back at all correctly. Zach Moss wasn't that bad. Singletary wasn't that bad. But Pierce, I don't see much of a rebound. But at the same time, if you own him, you're not getting anything for him. And if you don't own him, you're not paying much for him. So I've seen worse players sit in my bench and kind of just wait things out. Like, I have Malik Willis just sitting there for 2 years. Like, you know,
doesn't make it right.
No, nah, but, doesn't make but it right. You got to have these guys in your bench. And he's the perfect player, I think. I wouldn't put him in. I wouldn't start him. I would need 3 weeks of good work before I start him. But he's not a bad guy to throw it a feeler on and throw him on your bench because you never know.
Hold on. I got to take Taylor out.
Uh-oh. he's on his phone right now. I can see it. He's doing it.
Is HN going to play this week? He's got some...
I think he'll play. It seems like
he's got projected points.
His injury last week seemed like it wasn't something that actually needed to have him.
Yeah, I heard that as well. Okay. I got him into sticking. Whew, okay.
I think I'll be doing this podcast, or Dave will be starting guys that are injured.
Am I playing you in any leagues this week? Because if so, I got to check when I'm playing Dave. We'll give some false information on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Antonio Brown's back this week. Pick him up in all formats.
Well, Sean McCoy is starting running back this week. Don't worry if you can't see him in your.
No, I got Sanjay there. No, I don't think I got you in anything, buddy, unless your name is DJB. I got him in
that's,
one league.
That'd be old Nick. That's not me.
Yeah, yeah. I had 59 points in that league last week, so I'm a little better than that.
That is
yeah,
tough.
That's a rough one. Yeah. Well, fellas. Jay, you got something to, you got a final thought there you want to share?
I was going to say, in one of our leagues, I won the week based off of the Thanksgiving Day games. And the guy didn't have anybody start that day. And he had every player playing on Sunday, and I still scored more points, 72 on Thanksgiving Day than he was projected for, 61.
Oh.
And the worst part is he had one empty slot. His team didn't even have... It's not like he had five slots empty. His team is so bad that he just didn't have more than that 4.5 points a player. Like, I almost want to just give him a draft pick or two just as compensation, just because those weeks shouldn't happen. That's just boring.
Yeah. That Pitchler?
No. Pitchler at least manages a team.
Well, you know, I'm guilty of leaving Musgrave, and he was put on injured reserve on the Wednesday, apparently. And the American Thanksgiving kind of screwed me up.
Thursday,
I sort of
all
forgot.
The games, yeah.
Yeah, and I was
because in Canada it's just a Thursday.
Yeah,
yeah. What a great Thursday though, because I work from home, so I had the games on like all day behind me. That was fantastic.
Oh, you lucky bastard!
Americans, you should celebrate Thanksgiving more often.
Once a month.
Yeah.
Once a month, please.
Slaving at work. Slaving at work, selling Black Friday deals.
All the deals
for the man. All the deals. All the deals are mostly over, folks. Well, just like this show is, it's over mostly, but it's never truly over. Guys, it was great to be back with you guys. I truly missed you last week. Really did.
We missed you too, Dave. We missed you too.
And that's why I only got 59 points. I didn't have any advice to go on last week.
And that's why we had less listeners last week. We got 59 points. We had less listeners. You know what I asked the guy. We shouldn't put out episodes on Thanksgiving though. That really not going to help.
Yeah, and we are a day late here. But Jay, I apologize for a little bit of my coughing. I know this one's going to get right out there. So hopefully,
it was until you coughed.
Now you gotta do
now turn your head. All right. Turn your head and cough.
I did. I can't find it. There's no mute. I got no mute on this this thing. Cool.
But hey, luckily tomorrow's not Thanksgiving, so release the episode. Much to my chagrin, it's not Thanksgiving, so I'd like one a week now. But...
I know. Well, I'm gonna cut out everything that just happened for the last 4 minutes because that was unnecessary. So Dave, you wanna sign us off?
I kind of like
thanks for joining us this week on the Dynasty Football Life. I'm your host, David, and my two good counterparts here, Jay and Ty. Please listen to our podcast on your podcatcher of choice, which is iHeartRadio for many, but Spotify for some and Apple Podcasts for others. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week.
Bye. Thanks for promoting all the big boys, Dave. They need it.
This is the Dynasty Football Life Podcast.